The reading for this afternoon is Luke 23, verses 13 through 25. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. And neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him, and I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we ask now that you would help us to understand what that Good Friday means for us. Please would you speak, please would you give us ears to hear and hearts that love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're thinking about how Jesus gives us life through his death. How we think about the seed that goes into the earth and dies, and it brings all sorts of life. We're thinking this afternoon about how Jesus' death buys us life. We're going to think about why, because it was a sad Friday, it is also a good Friday. Because it was all about a swap. That first Good Friday, all about a swap. I've got some swaps for us. Hopefully they'll come on the screen. We had some issues with PowerPoint earlier, so who knows? Brilliant. Some swaps. Sometimes swaps are bad, aren't they? Who would like to swap their holiday for another couple of weeks at school? Really? Okay, well, each to their own. It's great to love school, isn't it? Well done. If you're super. Okay, how about this next one? Sometimes swaps are good. Who would like to swap their chores for opening a massive present? I think we know the answer to that one. Yeah. Much rather sacrifice the dusting or the vacuum cleaning for another gift. Okay, how about this next one? It might be a bit too close for some of us. Easter Sunday is nearly here. Don't worry if you've given up chocolate. Who would like to swap broccoli for chocolate? To my shame. Hand firmly in the air. Okay, final one. Swapping death for life. Pretty wonderful swap. That is what we are thinking about this afternoon. A swap. Jesus swapping his life for us. Him dying to give us life. I want you to do some work for me. You're going to need a Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, can we get a stack ready for people? Perfect. We are going to look at those verses, because in those verses today, we heard about two people, two prisoners. One of them Jesus, one of them called Barabbas. And I want you, we're going to split into two groups. So how about try and split down the middle here? So you guys on my left, your right, I want you to see what these verses tell us about Jesus. The verses you need to look at are there on screen, verse 14, 15, 20, and 22 of Luke 23. And you guys, I'd like you to think, what do these verses teach us about Barabbas? What do they tell us about Barabbas? Okay, this side, you were looking at Jesus. What do these verses tell us about Jesus? No sin, not guilty, super. Okay, well done. Okay, my right, what do you hear about Barabbas?
Murderer.
Sorry?
Murderer.
A murderer. Yeah. Yeah, a murderer leading a rebellion, insurrection. Not a good guy. Okay. I need a volunteer. Marchin, you're looking like a great volunteer. Come on up. Thanks very much. You can be Barabbas for me. Wonderful. And Barabbas, which one of these signs do you think Barabbas needs?
Guilty.
Guilty, yeah? Okay. So, guilty Barabbas. Okay, how about Jesus?
Innocent.
Innocent, yeah? Okay, we're going to put this one up here. Okay. Jesus had done nothing wrong. He was innocent. Barabbas was in prison. Barabbas was a rebel and a murderer. Barabbas was guilty. It is obvious, isn't it, who should be punished? Who should be punished? Guilty Barabbas or innocent Jesus? Guilty Barabbas. I'm sorry. Actually, you should be sorry. There were three crosses up on that first Good Friday. There were two for two thieves and one for a murderer. That cross had Barabbas' name written all over it. That was ready for him, and yet he doesn't go there. Jesus should have been released. Back in verse 2 of Luke 23... we get the very first, we see that the charges against Jesus were trumped up charges. There were lies. They were saying he has started misleading our nation. He's not letting us pay tribute to Caesar. Those two things are just blatant lies. He has just said, pay your taxes. They lied to get Jesus in trouble. Verse 4, Pilate tells us what he thinks about Jesus. He delivers his verdict. He says, I find no guilt in him. He is innocent. Jesus has done nothing wrong. And in fact, he says that three times, those words. I find no guilt in him. It's there in verse 4. There again in verse 14. There in verse 22. Jesus has done nothing wrong and certainly nothing deserving death. And yet the crowd cry, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified. See, Barabbas was guilty, but Jesus was innocent. And yet Barabbas walks free, and Jesus condemned to death. It is a death for a life. It's a swap. See, guilty Barabbas walks free. He is treated as innocent. And Jesus is treated as guilty. It's not fair, is it? It's not fair. What happens if you get in trouble and you haven't done anything wrong? What do you do to mum or dad? If they're trying to punish you for something that your brother or sister did, what do you do? Start shouting. Well, yeah, okay. That's very honest. Start shouting at them. What do you do if your teacher tries to get you in trouble for something that you didn't do? You tell her you didn't do anything. You plead your innocence, right? You do that in court too, don't we? If you get accused, we fight our corner. On the football pitch, there's a bad result, we appeal to VAR. Jesus doesn't do that though, does he? Jesus doesn't fight his corner. This swap wasn't an accident. He knew exactly what he was doing. It wasn't a tragic miscarriage of justice. It was, but it was also his plan. God's plan all along. Luke, the gospel writer, wants us to know that. Back over the page in chapter 22, verse 37, he tells us what the context for Jesus' death is. And it's from Isaiah 53 that we started our service with. Jesus says, I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. He takes us back to the Old Testament, back to this prophet Isaiah writing 700 years before Jesus came along. Numbered with the transgressors, he would be treated as guilty. He'd be killed as a criminal. Yet as that verse goes on, he bore the sins of many. Good Friday is about a swap. It is about the guilty for the innocent. It is about Jesus for Barabbas. It is about him for you and for me. It is about his death for our life. Can we remember our memory verse? Should we try and do it? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Good Friday is about a swap. It is about Jesus for Barabbas. It is about the innocent for the guilty. It is about a death for life. Now, we know Barabbas was guilty, but he was not the only one on that day. Pilate was very guilty. He knows what is right and good, but he chooses evil. The chief priests wanted Jesus dead. The crowds set Barabbas free, but they killed innocent Jesus. Even Jesus' closest friend, Peter, lies. He denies Jesus. He is guilty. Actually, every human sin who has ever lived is guilty. In our own way, in small ways and in big ways, we have all sinned. Sin is a small word, isn't it? But it's got a big meaning, and we often misunderstand what it means. We've got a definition on the next page. It's we spell it sin, S-I-N. We spell it sin, so S, shove off God. I, because I'm in charge. N, no to your rules. We want to swap. We want to put ourselves in God's place. And so we sin. You see, each one of us has done wrong. We lie or we cheat. Or we take things that don't belong to us. Or we get jealous. We want things that other people have. And God says that we do those things because we don't love him the way that we should. Because we want to take his place in our lives. And our sin stops us from getting to God. It's like a great big barrier. It puts up a wall between us. Or a great chasm that we, a great valley, a great gap that we can't cross. But Jesus never sinned. He is the only person who was good, who is good. The only person who truly was innocent. That was Pilate's verdict of him. And Jesus goes to his death. He goes to his death as an innocent man. What he did for Barabbas is a picture of what he does for you and for me. What he does for everyone who believes in him. He takes Barabbas' place on the cross. He dies in our place. See, just as he died on the cross, he bore our sins. He takes all of our sins away. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. And so God judged Jesus instead of you and me. Now listen to how Luke describes what happens as Jesus dies. Verse 44, if you've got your Bible. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. When Jesus died, darkness fell. It is a picture of God's justice, of God's judgment, his right anger at our sin. Because Jesus carries our sin on the cross. Because he became sin for you and me. Because God's anger fell on him and not on us. His anger burned like fire. His anger burns up and burns on Jesus. He takes our sin. He dies instead of us. And as he dies, all the wrongs that we have done get dealt with at the cross. All of our sin is dealt with. It is dealt with once and for all. It is taken away. It is never going to raise its head again because it is gone. As far as the east is from the west, that is how far he has removed our transgressions from us. And so the way to God is then opened up. Sin dealt with, atonement made, you and me washed clean, a death in our place. There used to be a curtain hanging in the temple and it literally blocked the way to God. It was like a big wall, representing that wall that sin puts between us and God. Verse 45, the curtain of the temple when Jesus died was torn in two. That big no entry sign, that big keep out sign was removed, taken away, gone. Because our sin is dealt with and we can go. Yeah, we say hallelujah. The path to God is open up. Life is open. Life is for you and for me because our sin has gone. Luke's gospel is all about certainty. He wants us to be dead certain, convinced, utterly sure that these events were true. That is why he wrote, he wants you and me to know that Jesus really died, that Jesus really rose. And the story doesn't end on Good Friday, because Easter Sunday comes, Jesus rises from the dead, and right at the end of the book, Luke says, or Jesus says these words. He says, as a result of rising from the dead and his death, repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be preached in Jesus' name to all nations. That first Good Friday means you and I can have certainty that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Forgiveness because Jesus died. Forgiveness because he dealt with our sin and now it is gone. Forgiveness because the path to life is open up. Sometimes our sins weigh heavily on us, don't they? Sometimes we feel burdened by them. Sometimes we feel trapped under them. We feel defined by them. We feel broken because of them. That Good Friday means Jesus offers to take them from you. He deals with them. And when we ask him to, because he deals with them at the cross, there is nothing more. There is nothing more to deal with, nothing more to pay, nothing more to do. You don't need to be racked by guilt. You don't need to doubt if Jesus did enough. His innocence covers your guilt. Don't need to question if you've done enough to get yourself into heaven, because he has opened up the way. He has paid for sins. Atonement has been made. As he says to the thief who hung on the cross next to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Maybe this is all new to you. Maybe you never asked Jesus to deal with your sin before. But that first Good Friday changed the world, and it really can change your eternity. In a moment, we're going to respond by confessing our sins together. And we're going to lay them at the cross. We're going to lay them on Jesus. We're going to recognize that we need him to die in our place, to deal with our sin, to buy us life. This would be a great time to do that for the first time, if you haven't done that.